Go to the Amazon and type in Matt McNabb.
Matt McNabb, M-A-C-N-A-B-B.
That's right.
Matt, M-A-T-T.
Thanks, Sam.
You're welcome.
Welcome to another episode of Lost in Omaha. Live in Studio 1A, from the 37th floor of the Bodkin Tower, with your hosts Mike and Sam, this week's guest, Matt McNabb, and remember, have fun and do cool shit.
What's up, everybody? This is Mike Fantastic with the Lost in Omaha podcast. Today, I am with my co-host...
Me, Sam.
The Alpha, the Omega, the kid on the couch.
The handsomest mustache.
The handsomest mustache.
The dragon to my ball.
Jelly Roll Johnson. AKA. Morgan, how you doing, buddy?
Fan-fucking-tastic.
Right. Well, I just saw the Dragon Ball Z tattoo on his neck, and I'm like, I'm just going to throw it in there.
He's got a lot of...
Figure it out.
A lot of them goofy tattoos.
I don't know if they're goofy. They've all got landmarks, hallmarks.
Like I don't know.
They're all comic book related.
Well, of course they are.
Most of them are. 95% of them are.
All right.
Cool chat, bro.
Yeah, thanks for clarifying.
Yeah. This well, I think it has to do a lot with what we're talking about today, too, so.
Oh, he pulled it all
Look
together.
Look at that.
Now he made us feel stupid.
Look at that. This week, we are with author, fucking critic, fucking toy connoisseur. You got a lot of things going on. Webmaster.
Webmaster.
Web pioneer.
Pioneer.
That's what I'm...
Mr. Matt McNabb, how are you, sir?
I'm great. Thanks for having me on, guys.
We're excited.
Thank you for being here.
So, we'll just dive right into it. What were you like as a kid,
man? What kind of kid were you? Were you the weirdo? Were you the socialite? Were you the kid with the finger in your ass?
No, I was a huge dork. Huge dork. Like, way more than now.
Really?
Like, yeah, way more. I spent most of grade school in fantasy land playing by myself because all the kids were into, like, Jordans and, you know, like, Saved by the Bell, and I was still watching Rescue Rangers and rocking.
Hell yeah.
So, yeah, I was not into that stuff at all. So,
Chip and Dale.
Yeah.
Rescue Rangers.
Big on the Disney afternoon. I didn't...
Darkwing Duck?
Darkwing Duck.
All right.
That's my jam. Yeah.
Tailspin?
Yep. Oh, yeah.
Let's go through
not
the
that Bonkers bullshit, though. I didn't watch Bonkers.
I don't know what that is.
Bonkers is stupid. Yeah, but no, I was always a little behind with that kind of stuff. I've always been focused on toys, cartoons, comics ever since I was a little kid. So didn't make you popular back in the day. It's not cool like it was is now.
Now
it's more accepted now.
Right. I was way cool.
I was
like 8 years old playing with toys. What age?
Like I was ahead of my time. No, I was 12 years old still getting toys.
Yeah.
15 years old still getting toys. Yeah. It never stopped. It just kept going.
Now, are you just collecting or are you actively playing with them?
When I was 12, I was still playing with them.
Yeah.
By the time I was like 15, 16, I was collecting them.
Okay.
By that point.
Again, at that point, were you leaving them in the package or were you pulling them out like displaying
them? No, I was ripping them out and displaying them. Okay. I had an inkling to keep in the package, but I didn't have the willpower.
Right.
I couldn't do it. It was just too tempting.
Willpower is the worst.
It is the worst. I try to avoid it whenever possible.
So as a young lad, even younger than 12, say like 5 to 9, mm-hmm. what were you into then?
Ghostbusters.
Now let's talk about
Ghostbusters.
Is it the real Ghostbusters or the Hanna-Barbera knockoff?
Both.
Oh, you were into both.
That's it wasn't a knockoff. It was Deke, actually, and it was not a knockoff.
It was based off that TV show, yeah?
It was based off the old 70s show.
Right.
Yeah, movie and show.
But I like to call it the knockoff.
They had the contract first to make the cartoon for Columbia. Columbia ripped it out of them, gave it over to the other company who made real Ghostbusters. It was a whole thing. But they actually had the ownership of the name Ghostbusters stayed with Filmation because of their TV show, so they couldn't make a Ghostbusters cartoon, which is why the stupid name went with the other one. But I liked them both. I watched the gorilla one. I watched the regular one back to back. I didn't give a shit.
That's wild.
It didn't bother me at all.
To me, there was a camp.
More
like,
the merrier.
Your flag was on one side or the other.
There was. That's what. Yeah.
So there was a TV show.
Not for me.
No, this was in the '80s. Actually,
well, there was
a live
there was
action.
There was a movie and a live action movie and TV show in the '70s of Ghostbusters with the gorilla and the. That's why in the cartoon it's Jake Kong Jr. Mm-hmm. And it, because their seniors are in the show and they're supposed to be the kids of the people in the live action show.
I've never seen it, but yeah. I know
way too much about the film.
You just fucking blew his mind. I know you did, bro. I think this is gonna happen a lot tonight.
His mustache hair like went on end, like starts standing up. Like what?
I like the Ghostbusters, but I never knew there was a.
Did you see the other cartoon?
The cartoon with all the action figures and stuff that came out with it?
No, there's two cartoons. There was one with the
Ghostbusters, and then the real Ghostbusters. Yeah. The snarky, you know, name one. Like, oh, we're the real Ghostbusters.
The real Ghostbusters is the one that's based off the 1984 movie that you've seen.
Yeah.
There's one that was based on a movie and TV series in the 70s cartoon that was based off of that.
It's got a gorilla in it. You can't miss it.
The gorilla talks.
It really is, yeah.
I've never seen it.
It's got a talking car. It's got really?
You got some YouTube homework to do.
You gotta look that shit up. It's
crazy.
Yeah. I thought,
the more the merrier.
Yeah, okay.
No, it was all like Monster Squad, you know, classic monster movies, Ghostbusters, anything supernatural was my jam when I was little. So
okay,
that was my thing.
Where did you go to grade school?
Norris Elementary, Millard.
All right.
Yeah, it's a shitbag school. it still is, actually. Yeah. I know some people whose kids go there. It's still a shitty school. It was terrible.
So were your parents the type to go ahead and get out all those toys, or were they just like, here's two and deal with it?
My parents were the kind where it was like, on birthday and Christmas, you get one toy you like and a bunch of shit you don't want.
Yeah.
I was like, all I want, Mom, all I want is Ghostbuster toys. Just get me anything that I don't have that's Ghostbusters.
Right.
Very simple.
Right.
I get one Ghostbusters figure and like some handcuffs and a fucking dart gun and shit.
What?
Like, what is this trash? Don't give me this shit. And it's like there was a Dollar Tree. They weren't stinging out. The shit still cost as much as the goddamn Ghostbuster figure would have cost them. There was no reason not to buy me the toy.
Math is there.
I'm an angry man. I carry this with me every day. It's hard.
His brow is furled.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, I know.
That's always the case.
None of this will surprise me. We haven't hung out in a couple years, but I know. Like,
we spent a lot of time together back in the day.
Yes, overnight we worked at Marriott. So
yes.
We had a lot of dead phone space talking about fucking childhood toys and shit.
Yeah.
Were you very possessive of your toys? Would you let other kids play with them? Or were you like, this shit's mine, get the
No way. Kids wanted to play with me and my toys.
Oh, really?
That was never a concern. If I had to imagine, I'd say I was very controlling with my toys.
Yeah.
If they had wanted to play with me, but nobody wanted anything to do with me at all.
Even
pretty
as
much
a
like
young
now,
kid?
Actually. Huh. Yeah, no, not at all.
Okay.
No. Because like I said, I was always behind. The kids where I lived, at least, they advanced very quickly. Kids were smoking in first grade. Like, it was...
What the fuck?
They were looking at Playboys in third, fourth grade. It was... I was way behind. Oh, I say way behind.
I
wasn't
way
behind for the world.
Yeah.
I was way behind for Millard, which is way scurvier than people give it credit for.
To me, it sounds like you had a normal childhood.
They're all greasy. I'm just living like a normal childhood, and they're all just like, that's what crack, you know? I'm like, okay.
I love heroin. Yay. Mm-hmm.
I mean, I guess it's always time for heroin.
They all pretty much turned out that way too. So it shows.
That's rough.
Did during that time, you had a lot of time to yourself. Did you get into anything creative that you can remember? Like, were you creating worlds on your own? Were you building fucking pyramids?
I was doing fanzines when I was like in third grade.
Yeah.
I was making like Ghostbusters and Ninja Turtles fan magazines, putting them together, stapling them together, making my own like word searches and doing like the whole deal. Drawing a lot. I do a lot. A lot of cataloging of stuff. I've always been kind of like an archivist. I always want to catalog everything and keep track of everything. And it's been like a thing with my brain. It keeps me busy. So,
A little OCD, if you will?
A little bit, probably, you know, not official, but I certainly have a tendency to go a little bit towards that realm.
Sure.
But no, mostly drawing. Yeah. Drawing and creating, creating the magazines. I did a lot of that.
Did you share them with anybody? Or
No, just for me.
Any of those still exist?
I would have shared them, I think, but again, no one wanted to look at my goddamn magazines.
Right,
so. Yeah, no one's interested in that, so
that's all right. You weren't out smoking crack with them.
No, I wouldn't smoke crack, and you know, I kept passing the freaking joints along, and nobody wanted to talk to me. I was no fun. So.
Bastards.
I know.
So, junior high, what happened?
You know, I got picked on a lot in grade school too, especially towards the end. Mm. So by the time junior high came along, I started to get a little more aggressive. I got more of a chip on my shoulder, getting tired of getting picked on. And, it was a weird time. I think like it is for everybody.
Yeah.
Middle school sucks for everyone.
Yeah.
And, I saw them go through junior high. And I'm like, fucking sucks. And I told him, like, it's going to suck.
Right.
Like, no, Dad, grade school is awful. I'm like, no, junior high fucking sucks.
Right.
Like, it's the worst 2 years of your life because it's in between being a kid and trying to be a young adult, and it's horrible.
Yeah, the assholes just all get the worse
shitty
and worse.
All the shitty teachers are there because they can't work in the high school. And, you know, they've all been, you know, leering at the girls too much in the high school, so they throw them down to the middle school because that's a great idea. And the whole thing's shitty. Everyone's starting to get too many hormones. They don't know what to do with them, and they're all a bunch of dickheads. So my experience was fine. It was actually kind of uneventful, to be honest.
Yeah.
But
where'd you go?
Millard Central.
Okay.
The rough streets of Millard yet again.
Right. So,
yeah. Well, they are doing heroin and crack cocaine in fourth grade. So maybe it is rougher than we think.
Did anything advance, like with the magazines or anything like that? Were you?
You know, that kind of dropped off a little bit. I was getting kind of more like X-Men and some of the comic book stuff more than the cartoons at that time. Mm-hmm. So I was drawing a lot, making kind of like pullouts and comic book covers and stuff, but I wasn't doing the magazines as much.
Did you dive into just Ghostbusters comics, or were you into, how'd you start with comics?
Comics started at a very young age. Mm-hmm. I had old comics my mom had when she was little, old like Casper the Ghost and like Donald Duck Halloween and some of that stuff. And then I started buying like Daredevil, Batman, some Ghostbusters, some Ninja Turtles, some of that kind of offshoot stuff. But mostly Batman, Punisher, and X-Men, I'd say, were my deals.
And when did you get into those? About what age?
I would say I got into them like as a serious reader.
Yeah.
I'd say 6th or 7th grade.
Okay.
Right before they started ripping the adamantium out of Wolverine. That whole deal with the bone claws, all that.
Right.
Fatal Attractions. I got in about a year or two before that. It was a good time to be into comic books. It was a
Chris Claremont time. Days.
Yes, the Claremont days. It was a good time to be into it. So, and you know, Batman kind of went to the wayside for a long time until Batman the Animated Series came out.
Yeah.
And that blew me away, like it did everybody else.
Kind of got you rekindled.
Definitely rekindled, because the movies sucked. I didn't like the movies.
Yeah.
Everyone was all crazy about Batman 89 and Batman Returns. I was very disappointed. I was like, okay, Batman doesn't really kill people, but okay.
Right.
Like Michelle Pfeiffer looks hot, but otherwise this movie's a bag of dicks.
Yeah.
I mean, like, it's terrible.
Yeah.
It's a good movie, but it's not a good Batman movie. And I was like, this is not really the Batman I know. And then they did Batman the Animated Series, and I was like, oh, shit.
This is where it's at.
That's where it's at. So that kind of rekindled me, and that lasted for a long time, as you know.
Yeah. But we'll definitely get into that, because that's some cool shit. Now, high school. I know some shit happened in high school.
Yeah.
So where'd you go? And
let's just expand on that.
Millard South. Again, stayed in the ghetto. It looks a little bit like a penitentiary from the outside. It's a lot like one on the inside. I came in at my older brother was a generation above me, and those were the kids where you drove around town with baseball bats in your back of your car, and you were going to beat the shit out of somebody every night.
Right.
Or get the shit beat out of you. These are rougher kids. And so I came at the tail end of the kids that were actually tough before the pansy ass 90s, you know, coffee drinking friends crowd came in.
Right.
So I had to go to school as a freshman with a bunch of seniors and juniors that were like, had knives they'd pull on you in school.
Yeah.
Like that was still a thing. Knives weren't against the code yet.
Mm-hmm.
So my freshman, they made a rule the middle of my freshman year against knives. There wasn't one on the goddamn books before then.
Right.
Like, you just bring a knife. It was fine.
When were you a freshman?
92?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I got a knife pulled on me, and it had to be eighth grade.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's legit.
I brought a throwing star to school and pulled it on a kid in gym class.
Throwing star?
He kept making fun of me, so I held a throwing star to his throat in the gym locker, so he'd stop.
Did you get suspended?
No.
Not at all?
He didn't tell me. He's not a pussy. He just quit fucking with me. So.
Soft-ass kid.
He didn't tell me. He's not a pussy.
Nah.
I like that.
He's not a squealer.
In high school,
mm-hmm.
were you doing anything socially? Like, were you in any clubs? Were you...
No.
You don't strike me as a club kind of guy.
If I had gone to high school 5 years later, they would have identified me as a school shooter right away. You are the kid. We're watching. We're red flagging you.
Right.
We're taking your kill book away. That stuff wasn't cool anymore later on. But,
did you have black hair and a trench coat? Or
Not quite, but pretty close. I was that kid. I was very angry and very depressed.
I think every high school had the trench coat kid. I had like two of them at South.
Yeah.
They would just not talk to anybody. That the big flop over and they would just wear trench coats.
You definitely had the flop.
Quiet.
I was that kid who was like, you know, like I'm into bands and then when they get cool, I don't like them anymore. I'm too cool for them. Right. Right. Yes. I was into Marilyn Manson, but until he got played on the radio.
Right. And then
until like, so people start wearing the t-shirts.
Cool. Oh, God, no. I was the first one to wear I'd wear my Marilyn Manson shirt. They're like, who's she? She's really ugly.
You plebs.
You met your life partner in high school, didn't you?
I did, thank God. It was right towards the end of my senior year. I had given up all hope on meeting anybody worth a shit. And then I met my future wife the last 3 or 4 months of my senior year.
Really?
So just barely squeaked in there. She has been my partner. We've been married 21 years on Saturday.
How'd y'all meet? What class was it?
It wasn't class. She was out in the hallway. Looking fine as fuck, and I was she's talking to a friend of mine, and Matt's like, it's my mom, dude. My son's sitting by me. There's a group of my friends standing there. One kid that I knew in particular, we didn't really hang out anymore, but I had tickets to a concert that night, and I was like, I got some free tickets.
What concert?
Powerman 5000.
Okay.
For their first album.
Okay.
Duh. By the second album, I was done. So I went saw Powerman 5000, but I brought eBay. So I brought the tickets over to the guy. I started talking to him, like, "Hey, man, I got this show tonight." He was a big Rob Zombie fan, so I'm like, "It's Rob Zombie's little brother's band. Like, come." Now I'm not sociable enough to actually address her, like a normal human being,
right?
So like we're talking right now, I can't look her in the eyeballs and be like, "I would like to go out with you." Or, hi, my name's Matt.
Right.
None of that shit. It was, I had a Downset shirt on.
Yeah.
And she goes, what's a Downset? And I look at her and I go, it's a band.
And
that was it.
It's
bitch.
A band.
Bitch. That was
Downset.
That was the extent of our interaction. That's it. So.
I like this guy.
Yeah. Let's get married. Yeah. Yeah. She's like, what, you dick? So that was the first time we met. And I orchestrated a few more meetings after that that went better.
Better.
I was determined to make it better. I was unhappy with the confrontational nature of that.
Did you or did you not wear the Downset shirt?
I wore my Downset hoodie instead. Oh, I had a lot of Downset here back in the day.
Few of us were really into Downset.
I hung out with the guy from Downset when they came to town, and so I had a bunch of Downset
right.
gear.
The merch.
Yeah, I was very social with bands and nobody else.
Yeah, like, you were big. You went to the Ranch Bowl a lot.
Yeah,
right?
I was a huge Ranch Bowl guy. Mm-hmm. I hung out with a lot of bands at the Ranch Bowl. Didn't have any friends, but me, like, I took my girlfriend at the time, and we'd go down and talk to bands at the Ranch Bowl. It's pretty much all the socialization I had.
Yeah.
So
you've put me on to a lot of interesting music. Yep. I remember like Hansel and Gretel.
Hansel und Gretel.
Oh, which I can no longer recommend because they're now a neo-Nazi band.
Oh, man, that's bad news.
They were like super cool electronica, and then they went all freaking Nazi weird.
Yeah, so yeah, I haven't really heard
of
them.
Not into that anymore. Yeah.
I haven't heard them in a while.
We're not cool anymore.
Let's separate you from Hansel and Gretel.
Yeah, let's move on from that.
Yeah. And I remember like Lords of Acid we talked about a lot, yep. KMFDM.
I saw Lords of Acid in Chicago, man. That was fucking awesome.
A lot of cool amazing. Fucking concert mm-hmm. times.
Yes, lots.
So I know you started around this time. This is when you started getting into the web design and, things like that.
What was your first, what did you do? Like, how did you get into it?
You know, I started going on the internet like everybody else in the early days where you go on and websites were there, but they sucked. And they didn't have a lot of content. They had a couple little bouncy images and maybe a little bit of text and a picture that took 5 years to load.
Yeah. This website has background music. Holy crap.
Oh, fuck. Yeah, just click right off. So in the very early days of the internet, I started playing with like the Yahoo GeoCities and all that, mm-hmm. the free websites and playing with graphics mostly. Mostly it ended up more than web design. It was art design. It was mostly for visuals. Mm-hmm. I wanted to build websites that were picture heavy. They couldn't yet be tolerated by the internet. But once it caught up a little bit, I started launching sites, the things I liked.
Yeah.
Toy lines, cartoon lines. I had my Atari Nation website.
Yes.
Which had cartoons. And before there were sites like that.
Right.
That had old cartoons on it and toys. And you could go through and click and read about the cartoons. It was one of the first websites that had that on there.
Yeah.
People don't know now who, like my son, who weren't born back then, but there weren't websites with that stuff on there.
Right. Remember learning frames?
There, yeah, absolutely.
Learning frames was like you were a baller ass web programmer. Right? I was like, my website's got frames, bitch. Like, damn.
I had, awesome. I had animated GIFs. I was a fucking hacker.
Right?
I was a hacker. So, yeah, I thought
it was, I knew my hexadecimal codes. It I
thought
was awesome.
I thought it was hot shit. Meanwhile, I couldn't do anything outside of the Yahoo web developing software, you know, for shit. Basic that, HTML.
That started, Atari Nation is what started it.
Yeah, it did. Yeah.
And then that's around the time we met. I think we
yeah.
and we started messing around with that. And then we did What Would T Do?
Of course. So What Would Mr. T Do was a high concept website where it has just full of pictures of Mr. T because we love him so much. And
so tender.
And I still say, and I'll say this till the day I die, people stole our idea. When we had the many moods of T.
Yeah.
And it was all the same picture of him frowning. It was like happy, sad, aroused. I swear to fuck, people stole that
yeah.
a million times over. That was our intellectual property, I'm telling you. We had that shit going like 2003. Like, nobody had that out there.
That.
We really should. I'm going to start looking into it. It was nonsense. But no, I kept making new websites, trying to find something that stuck for me. Mm-hmm. I'd make pages here and pages there. And it wasn't until I made a Batman one that it really started to kind of make sense to me.
Right.
Because there weren't any Batman websites, really. There was Batman on Film, which was just about, hey, make another Batman movie.
Mm-hmm.
The last one sucked. Please make another one. and then there was one called Batman Yesterday, Today, and Beyond. They became my nemesis. So I remember them. They had a half-ass website that didn't have a lot of stuff on there. And so I'm like, why does Batman not have a huge like website? Like, this is really stupid. So yeah. I started out making one basically for collecting the Batman toys, which I've been doing for many years before toy collecting was something that wasn't just for virgins. And back in the day when it wasn't so cool. So I started making a toy collecting site and I joined with this message board so that we could kind of communicate around the country with what everyone was seeing. Because Toy Fair existed back then, but Time Magazine didn't report on Toy Fair.
Right.
Like, no one gave a shit. So if you want to know about Toy Fair, you could read a toy magazine in 3 months, and maybe they'd have a couple shots from it, not necessarily the ones you want to see, but whatever they decided to put in there.
Yeah.
No one had real-time updates with toy news. It wasn't a thing. Toy news didn't exist.
Right.
Cartoon news didn't exist. This wasn't a thing. So I wanted to make it a thing, and I wanted to make a place where collectors could communicate, talk about stuff, show off our stuff to each other, maybe sell, trade, whatever. And maybe, you know, eventually it turned into something where maybe we could interact with people involved in the toy industry also, tell them what we were looking for before they made toys for adults like they do now strictly.
Right.
Instead of for kids.
Those are the adult store, aren't they? Oh, wait.
There's only adult toys now. So as I look up at your Funko Pops,
yeah.
There's only adult toys now. This is the kids don't play with toys. They play with tablets.
Mm-hmm.
They don't make toys for kids.
From 0 to 4 and then it stops.
Yeah, it stops. Right. They used to only make toys for kids. And so, you know, when the Spawn figures came out from Todd McFarlane, they started kind of moving a little bit that way, mm-hmm. but it was a very small, slow process.
Mm-hmm.
So we thought, hey, we're adult collectors. We'd like more adult toys. We'd like more characters we're interested in. Because it used to be, there'd be like 5 neon Batmans and like one Joker and one. Like, we want more villains. We want more characters. We want a couple girl figures.
Sure.
Like, I know it's crazy, but, you know, like, we want some different characters.
We do like titties.
Right. So we wanted to communicate with the toy companies. So I opened up a line of communication with Mattel. And the brand manager for Mattel started coming on my website and talking to people and getting our thoughts on what we wanted, because they had just gotten the license for Batman
mm-hmm.
back in 2003. And they called me on the phone a few times. We talked. They talked to people on the website and kind of got our feedback on what we wanted for an adult collectible toy line. And that's kind of where it started.
Yeah. And Legions of Gotham became a huge deal.
Yeah. It was a big deal.
You've got to do a lot of cool things. You were in a Batman comic.
Yep. Yep.
You've been interviewed by fucking... like CNN.
Yep.
You want to elaborate on that? Yep. Sure did.
That's right, boy. That's right, Hoss. You keep going. Keep on.
Tell us the story about keep how you got
go down in the Batman comic.
Keep singing my praises.
Right? Put that bat cock in your mouth.
That's right.
Tell us how you got in that Batman book.
You know,
that's kind of, you know, that's not something that any old person can claim.
No, I got to a point where it wasn't just toys. We started expanding into cartoons, movies, the first time anybody ever saw a picture of Christian Bale in the Batman suit was on my website. First place in the entire world. That was the world premiere.
Nice.
The a cartoon launched in 2004 called The Batman. It was the first one since Batman the Animated Series to come out. I got with the people who made that right away. It was very supportive. They kind of brought me into the fold, made me an honorary member of the crew, gave me a crew shirt, gave me all the... fed me secret updates, lots of first character looks and news and stuff like that. And from then, I kept interviewing people and meeting people, and this was before social media. So it wasn't like Jim Lee can go online and just talk to all his fans. He's got to talk to him through email, and no one knows his email because he's not a dickhead going and giving his email to
right,
people.
Right, he's fucking Jim Lee.
He's fucking Jim Lee. So if you're able to talk to somebody who can get you in touch with somebody... it was all networking, and mm-hmm. it's ironic because I'm really antisocial.
Yeah,
but on the computer I'm super social. So I'm able to network like a motherfucker on the computer. Mm-hmm. But so yeah, I just started talking to people, making friends, and your friends like to do you favors, man. The one guy's just like, "Hey, man, I want to write you in a comic book." I'm like, "Fuck yeah, you do. Of course you do." I don't know why I'm not in there right now. So
what was Matt McNabb in the Batman?
I was a Joker's lawyer.
No kidding.
Yeah, the Batman Strikes number 9.
Yes,
I was a Joker's lawyer.
Lunch to go to Krypton to go buy it.
Yes, I was a Joker's lawyer. So I did a good job. I got him off. So.
Yeah,
more ways than one.
I'll say you got him off. How exactly?
So yeah,
it looked like you.
It was a huge honor. It was actually really exciting. I've got to do a lot of really exciting stuff because of the website. It brought me to a lot of cool places. Most of all, of course, being my book that I got to write. So
yes. Segway. It's a very your book Segway. Is that book is so extensive. Mm-hmm. The
Batman Arsenal, that was your first book.
My first book ever.
Right.
Basically, I had Dark Knight had come out. It had hit mainstream. People really liked it. Mm-hmm. It was starting to make comic book stuff cool all of a sudden. And then Dark Knight Rises came out, and it was terrible, but people were still excited. I was kind of winding down for a little bit, to be honest. I was kind of losing interest mm-hmm. in the website. And right as that happened, I had a guy who contacted me from a book company. We had been doing a promotional deal for one of his other books, and I was doing like a giveaway. Mm-hmm. He said, "Hey," he goes, "I've been reading a lot of your stuff online." He goes, "Have you ever thought about writing a book?" I was like, "Yeah." I was like, "Actually, I want to be a writer when I was little. That's something I want to do for a long time is be a writer." Mm-hmm. And he was like, "How about you write me a book?" And I was like, "Okay."
Simple as
it
that.
It was pretty much that simple. So I pitched him 3 ideas for books that I had.
What were those 3 ideas?
One of them was actually about the Aurora, Colorado theater shooting.
Oh, wow.
For Dark Knight Rises.
Right.
I scrapped that one, but that's the one he liked the most. And there was 2 other ones. It was just, I don't know. I think it was like an animated history of Batman.
Yeah.
And then it was probably some of the Batman toys, to be honest.
Okay.
But he liked the write-ups I did and gave me a contract, gave me a nice big advance. It was all very exciting. It allowed me to move out of an apartment and into our first house. It was a big deal.
Yeah.
My family was huge. It's changed my kids' lives. It put them in the school district they're in now. I mean, everything about their lives changed pivots like right when that book happened. Everything's different. So it was very exciting. And
yeah.
It was a huge honor. I spent a lot of time writing the book. It's a nonfiction book. It doesn't have goddamn pictures.
No.
So that's the number 1 complaint about my book. There's no pictures. Like, are you 5? Have you never seen a fucking Batarang? You need a picture? Google it. So.
That's directly from the author. So any of you fuckers reading that book?
Oh, you can quote me on that. You fuck faces who want pictures in my book. Go fuck yourself.
Go fuck yourself.
I'm very angry
Google
about
it.
I'm a very angry man anyways. So that's, yeah. So this is over almost, it's 450 pages of just ridiculous amounts of information. There's no pictures. You'll survive. It's got too much information to have pictures, to be perfectly honest.
The book is called Batman's Arsenal.
Batman's Arsenal, an encyclopedic chronicle. And it basically goes through every weapon, every costume, every vehicle of any kind that Batman had from his inception up until 2013.
Now, does that include 60s Batman?
It includes every Batman.
Wow.
I went through every comic from 1939 onward.
Wow.
Every single one. Every single episode of the TV show, every single episode of the cartoons.
Now, how did you get your hands on the very early comics?
I had it already. Had it all downloaded already. Okay. Yeah. I had very legally downloaded these these files that had all the I just want to make sure that's clear. All these files that I had all the comics anyways. And so I combed through them for a year and a half and just poured everything I had. Basically, all the love I had for Batman got poured into this book and all my knowledge and everything I had. And then after that, I couldn't give a fuck less about Batman. I'm done. Like, it's almost like this is it. This is my heart and soul when it comes to Batman. I'm fucking done. This is all the contribution I have to give. That's it. So I don't really do the website anymore. I don't really collect much anymore. It really was just a kind of a cathartic
full circle.
Yeah. Yeah. I was able to achieve what I wanted to achieve. I was able to contribute something, I think, to something that gave me a lot of joy. And that's where I left it. So
it's fucking
that's
rad.
Where it is, man.
The foreword by Adam West, or preface?
Preface by Adam West.
It's a preface.
You can call it a foreword if you want to, because that's longer. So. It's a sentence by Adam West. I have a lot of connections, my friend. I hear that. I talked earlier about my connections. I've made a lot of friends. Actually, if you go through here, there's a ton of people whose names you might... If you know comics at all, you'll recognize a lot of people's names. From the comic industry, Dustin Nguyen, Kelly Jones. I talked to people who designed the actual Batmobiles for the movies. I talked to a lot of people here that are really cool and interviewed them. Got a lot
that
of
Adam West interview, though, that was a big fucking deal.
That was my first big deal, yeah. Actually, going back to Legions of Gotham. You remember how excited I was about
yeah,
that?
Yeah, that was
I was hopping in my seat. Sweet, like, yeah. I got an interview with Adam West in like 2003, and I was really excited about it. And no one gave a shit about Adam West in 2003 except for me. Me and Mike were like, yay, Adam West! Everybody's like, who? So, yeah, I was really excited. It was before his resurgence. So I was very excited about it, though, and he was very, very kind and gave me a nice interview, a nice quote for my website, which I just drilled in everyone's face forever. Adam West likes my website. You're a piece of shit if you don't agree. So that was kind of how I presented all my quotes always, you know? This guy likes it. Who the hell are you? Who do you think you are to disagree?
Fucking Batman.
That's fucking right.
Just so you know.
Oh.
That's right.
So, Batman.
Yes.
This closed out for you?
Closed it out. Done. Chapter's
you
moved closed.
Forward. You wrote another book?
I did.
What was the next book in the progress?
Unsurprisingly, it was a book about Ghostbusters.
There it comes again. All
and I have
circle.
Here my Dan Aykroyd autographed copy of my book.
Oh, no big
oh,
deal.
Wow.
No big deal. I mean, big deal. Whatever. I didn't grab that one on purpose at all. it was just sitting around. That is a foreword by Dan Aykroyd. And
that
it's
was
all...
on the back of his toilet, if I remember correctly.
Oh, yeah. Just sit on the shitter. It's fine. No big deal. It's probably a guy. I wouldn't touch it. and basically, this is just a book that chronicles all the toys.
It's got a lot of pictures.
Yeah, a lot of pictures. A lot of pictures.
So shut the fuck up if you want words.
Yeah. So
go read Batman.
Fuckers wanted pictures, so
you got
I'm
them.
Like, here you go. Now shut the fuck up. Then it's like, where's the words? I can't win. Nope. So I was like, whatever. It's like got 10,000 words. It's a lot of writing. That's more than you think. First of all, writing a book, man, everybody's like, oh, I'd love to write a book.
No, you won't.
No, you fucking hate it. Because writing a book is the most stressful, miserable thing in the entire world. Especially the first time you try to do it. You're like, I'm never going to finish a book. How am I ever going to do this? This book right here was 75 or 85,000 words. I don't know if you know how many words that is.
It's a lot.
It's a lot of words yeah. when you're writing something. I remember writing essays in school. Like,
fuck, if this page and a half is too much.
Exactly. Like, this shit is out of control.
Can I ask a question? How long from start to finish did it take you to make the Batman Arsenal? When did you start and when was it handed in?
Well, I started writing a different one and scrapped it halfway right. through.
Oh,
so
wow.
This one took me about a year, year and a half. Probably a year and a half by the time it was all the way proofed and done.
Yeah.
And the idiots who published it, who are idiots, thank you, but they're idiots. but thank you for this opportunity. they managed to publish one chapter like in the wrong spot.
Oh.
Oh.
Yeah. So they're fucking, which makes me like a huge asshole because like, oh, Matt doesn't want to put his chapters together. It's like, yes, I do. They're just idiots. So
did they do anything else in the editing? Like, did they cut? Much okay. Work. Like, let's
oh,
talk
now
about
you're
that
now
right.
you're ripping off scabs.
That's good. This is good.
All scabs right. are coming out.
All right, all right.
Baz exhaled big.
We're putting that one away.
We're getting right. back to Ghostbusters.
We're getting Batman but, back out. Right. Okay, so the gentleman who published this with me, his name was Glenn. I really appreciate what he did for me because it really was a big deal and it did change my family's life.
Mm-hmm.
However, if Glenn wasn't such a fucking idiot, this book could have sold several thousand copies very, very easily. But what Glenn didn't want to do was promote the book at all.
Really?
So why? Well, I don't know.
Like, I'm not interested.
We've decided it's some sort of tax haven for something. It can't be a money making idea because the way they do business sucks.
Right.
Their editor was an old woman who was out of her fucking mind. Didn't know what she was talking about. Mustache.
Maybe Glenn liked pictures.
Maybe we discussed pictures, and I did shoot it down. So maybe he was holding
the
pictures.
Fuck you, Matt.
Fuck you. I'm gonna trash your book, you piece of shit. So that could be actually. So he, you know, I hadn't thought about that.
Shit.
Now I gotta reassess my whole anger. So this book, he said, okay, we're gonna promote your book. You know, send me a list of all these places where you want to promote your book. I had already done the research because I'm really anal like that. And I'm like, here's all these reviewers I think would actually promote this book, who would write about it. Sends me something back, goes, none of those people would review a comic book related book. Meanwhile, the same month, almost half of them reviewed another Batman related comic book fucking book.
Oh, well, market research fail.
And included places like the New York Times, Washington Post. It wasn't like rinky dink shit. It was a lot of really big.
Right.
And they were starting to let comic book and fan theme stuff into their mix. They had previously been very serious reviewers, only reviewing very serious fiction, not nerdy comic book fiction. They were starting to do that then, though. And I was already keen to that. And I told him, I said, hey, they're going to want to review it. Mm-hmm. I'm like, I'm telling you, it's a matter of sending someone an email. And I've given you the email.
Right.
That's all you got to do. If they say no or they don't answer, oh, well.
Yeah, you sent the email.
Still wouldn't do it.
Wow.
They would basically not promote the book. He changed the cover at the last minute.
What was the cover?
The cover was way cooler. It had a bat symbol on it, and it was way cooler. He got cold feet with Warner Brothers thinking they were going to sue him, even though there was about a million books. So he threw this unauthorized crap on there and basically tanked the cover of the book and made it look like some crappy self-published knockoff book. It did have a really cool cover before. Which was right here with his bat symbol that it had. Like, way cooler, right? Like, that's neat. That's sweet. Yeah, then it's meh. So there's that. But I did what I could with it. The book is high quality. Anybody who's read it has nothing but praise for it because it is just super dirty. 100% accurate. I actually dispel a lot of rumors in it that have been longstanding. A lot of people don't understand Batman's history with guns. I got a whole chapter on that about the reality of what it actually was.
For instance?
For instance, people like to say Batman used to carry a gun. He didn't.
Okay.
There is two instances of Batman having a gun. One time he shot a vampire, and one time he had it in his holster in a one-page ad, and that's literally it.
Wow.
He didn't actually carry a gun around. People say a lot of things on the internet, and they just float around and float around. I dispelled a lot of stuff in here that was just bullshit, and that was a good thing for me, too. I was like, I wanted to really, you know, dig a mustache. Yes.
Did he actually fuck every woman in the comic book series?
Yes.
Besides his mother.
I can neither confirm nor deny that.
It's exactly the same answer. We were talking about it earlier.
I fucked them all in order that might surprise you.
As a Batman fan, yes. Read the comic books,
yes.
Watch the animated series, mm-hmm. Watch the movies, watch all that shit.
Yeah.
Every chick that he's ever come across... He fucks.
He's rich as fuck, dude.
I know. So I'm
if
just
you're
like,
rich as fuck, you'd bang everybody you knew, too.
I know. I just want to make sure that
he's handsome,
he's had,
and he's rich,
fucked.
And he's like 300 pounds of muscle.
What's there not to fuck?
And we right? recently... Pounds,
I'd fuck him. Hair. I'd fuck him in a heartbeat.
He has a very modest penis.
Right? He's very... He's
it's out there, too. Yeah, you could just be Batman and show
you know.
Why do they do that, do you think?
I don't know. You know, I feel like it's like wrestling, where you know some of those guys are packing heat, but you have no idea who...
Right.
You know, you're like, I'm not looking, but I'm kind of looking. I'm like,
I'm looking.
It's kind of weird that you guys are like Ken dolls right now. Like, I know you got your Speedo on, you're tucking things back and but it's weird. They do the same thing with superheroes. I think they wear the same outfits wrestlers do. Huh. So yeah.
Fucking lore, you know,
that's how it is.
Writing that book. Yeah. It didn't curtail you, but it definitely, I can tell that. It gave you some angst.
It gave me some frustrations. I feel like it could have been a lot more successful and reached a lot more people had it been properly promoted and properly put out there with any kind of interest at all.
Have you ever thought about doing that yourself? Just
someday down the road, this is going to revert to me when it goes out of print.
Okay, so that's the...
Is that the 35-year clause?
It is as soon as it's out of print.
Oh, okay.
When it's out of print, it's all mine. And I will be reworking it, updating it, and re-releasing it. eventually.
And then you'll...
Because there's a lot... I mean, face it, a lot has happened since 2013.
Oh, yeah.
There's
right.
A, yeah. It's a whole different world, so... And things keep happening every day, so... Yeah, so it'd be like a 1,000-page book by then, I guess. And maybe I won't do that. I don't know. I might be lying right now.
Right.
The idea's out there.
The idea's... I'd like to, yeah.
Then you move... Let's move back to where we had moved.
The Ghostbusters with pictures.
My autographed Dan Aykroyd Ghostbusters
book. Yes.
The shooter
that's
book.
That's right. That's right. My shooter reading. So, yeah, basically what I did was I used my collection and the collection for other people. Had them do some photographing, too. And went really deep and nerdy into... Ghostbusters collectibles from the movies all the way through modern day.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of focus on real Ghostbusters. The Filmation Ghostbusters actually has its own chapter in here too.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. So.
So you left no stone unturned.
Oh no. No.
Attaboy.
No stones are unturned in here. I have Filmation Ghostbusters
Morgan,
stuff in here.
Morgan, you should take an eye on.
Yeah. Take a gander.
I'll check it.
Don't lick my book. You look like a book. You look like a book licker.
Is Dan Aykroyd as strange as he comes across now?
Yeah, he's a freaking awesome guy, though.
Yeah. I mean,
he's so giving and so nice.
Yeah.
I mean, just the coolest guy. I contacted him through his rep, and he agreed to do actually a rather nice forward, not one of these dickhead, you know, Adam West prefaces, you know? It was an actual forward. It was so sweet of him. He didn't have to do that, and
yeah.
It was so nice. And he sent me, like, a magazine, too, that he autographed, and he sent that to me, and very, very kind.
Super cool. Did they give you... Now, is the process the same? Is this published through the same people?
No, God, no.
Okay.
Never again.
What happened? This, did you self-publish that, or...?
No. This was done through a British company called Amberley Books. They do collectible books, historical books, all kinds of different stuff. And someone was putting out a Batman collectibles book. And I was like, what the fuck? Why am I not putting out a Batman collectibles
book?
I'm like, who the hell do you...
I'm the fucking guy.
Who do you think you are? So... They sent it to me to review, and I looked at this book. I go, I don't think you want me to review this book because it's a pile of shit. I literally will not put anything good about this book on my thing. And it wasn't me being a dick. It really was. This guy took his collection, which was just some Batmobiles from 1970 to 1985, and put them all in a book and said it's a Batman collectible book. I'm like, this is really, it doesn't scratch the surface of really anything. I'm like, this is a terrible book. It's, I don't know if you've ever seen collectible books from the 90s. They used to be like in antique malls and stuff. And they were literally people taking their own collections, putting them in a book and going, here's a book about McDonald's toys. But it's just their McDonald's toys.
Right.
It's not all the McDonald's toys.
So it's not very comprehensive.
It's a lot like that.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, I want a better, more comprehensive collectible book. This is not helpful to me. I looked to these kind of books when I was a kid collecting before the internet to... you know, teach me something. So once the internet made books irrelevant, I went ahead and published collectible books thinking that's a good idea. So I can go back in time and give it to myself, apparently. So I made this book, which is far more comprehensive. I basically told him, I said, hey, I'm an author. I wrote this. I'm a self-promoter from day one. That's really what I am more than anything. As you know, I took one dumb thing and I rolled it to something bigger and something bigger and something bigger until it was way far outside of my pay grade. So I tell him, I'm a published author. I got this book out and, you know, I'd be happy to, you know, look into writing a collectibles book for you guys. It's more comprehensive. So they agreed, like a bunch of suckers, and gave me the Ghostbusters book. And I did that, got Dan Aykroyd, which they're very excited about.
Yeah.
I went and got Dan Aykroyd to do it. No one did any of this shit, by the way. The Adam West doing this, Dan Aykroyd doing this. That's all me.
It's all you.
The book companies do nothing for you.
Mm.
You might as well self-publish, truly.
Yeah.
Authoring books is something that has a big mystique around it. People think it's very romantic. It's very cool. It's very exciting. It's not. It's awful. And it really is, because it's like they were very kind people and they were very smart and they did good promotion of this book. And I can't bitch about the way they did anything. Their editing was good. They left it up to me as an expert. They left my hands. They just did grammar. They didn't try to take anything out. The people in the Batman book would actually question stuff I put in them. Like, you have no idea what you're talking about. Like, shouldn't we use this word instead of this word? I'm like, that's not what it was. Why would I use that? You fucking idiot. Like, I'm using quotes. Like, shouldn't we change it to this? I'm like, it's a quote.
You can't change that.
You can't
that.
Change quotes, right. Idiot. So anyways, but Amberley was very kind. So this book came out. It did well. Got a lot of attention. And it got in some magazines. It got in, like, I think Empire Magazine over in the UK and some other... They got some decent attention and some decent promotion. Sold well. So then they asked me if I want to do another one.
Yeah.
And I said, sure, I'd be happy to. So then I did Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles collectibles.
I mean, that one's got my dick a little hard. I'm not going to lie.
It was the natural choice. I was like, I've done Ghostbusters. I'm like, for by Kevin Eastman. Boom.
Jesus. And you did that.
Of course I did that. They don't do shit. So, yeah, I did. So I did a pretty comprehensive. It's not everything, but you check it out. It's pretty comprehensive.
I would love to.
Yeah, go right ahead.
Oh, so awesome. Podcast is over for me, boys.
Yep, you're signing off. So I wrote that one, very similar process. It came a lot easier the second time. 10,000 words again, like 100 pictures.
Yeah, it's
pretty standard format.
More curating than...
Yeah, it was more curating, yeah. And there was... I mean, don't get me wrong, I have a lot of historical information there about the inception of the toy line, mm-hmm. about how it came about. I try to put a lot of history into everything I do because I feel like history is extremely important.
Right, it's a especially huge with deal this.
To me, and nobody documents it correctly. And like, I want to be absolutely thorough. I go to the sources on things. I make sure I fact check the people who know.
Yeah.
And I don't... And if something doesn't sound right, I chase after it until I can figure out if it's true or not.
Right. And you're also, by doing that, you're giving a reason why these things are so collectible.
Yeah,
like absolutely. The history behind it. That's a big thing that I think that people don't understand. That if they wanted to know why someone would want to collect fucking Mutant Ninja Turtles or fucking Ghostbusters shit, they could look at the book and say, "Oh, okay, well, this is why this matters."
I think it's harder to understand now if you didn't grow up during that time because these things are just there now.
Yeah,
they're nostalgia, baby.
They're just part of culture now, and they're just what you do. You just collect toys,
right?
But that was no one collected toys before.
Yeah,
that wasn't a thing
because we fucking played with them.
Yeah, you play with them, and then you threw them, then your mom threw them in a garage sale and said, "Fuck you, don't play toys anymore."
Right?
Right.
I guess I'll bang girls now.
So little did know she was throwing away lottery tickets.
Sucker, hey, dude.
Yeah, I mean, literally, that's just how it went. So,
what makes me happy is you never touched Star Wars.
Never. Never. I wouldn't even dare touch Star Wars, man. That's not my thing.
Yeah.
There are people.
There's gotta be, yeah.
There are experts in Star Wars. I wouldn't even begin to describe myself as even but a casual fan and an admirer. I couldn't even bother. I'm definitely not a Star Wars guy. So.
Tell me about the Toy Story sisters. How'd that come about? Is it similar? Or?
Well, my wife, Holly, collects Toy Story. She's been collecting it since 1997. She has one of the biggest Toy Story collections in the world.
Oh, wow.
So I'm like, hey, honey, they want me to do another book. They've been selling really well. They're excited about doing more books. So me, like, hey, Matt, just do another book. I'm like, okay, this is cool. It's what I want to do, like write these kind of books. I'm like, this is great. I'm like, honey, let's do Toy Story. And she's like, okay. So we basically just took her collection, like a bunch of assholes from the 90s.
Right.
And just photographed her collection. It's in no way comprehensive. It is just a sampling of Toy Story from her collection.
So that one's one of those asshole books.
This is a huge asshole book that no one should buy. This is exactly what I was complaining about.
Before. Right.
But
full circle. I love it so much.
But I'm a huge hypocrite and a money grubber, so I don't really care. So I wrote this with my wife. Her name is First, of course, because this is her collection.
Right.
And she is my princess, so that's hers. But yeah, man, I photographed her whole collection. I wrote a bunch of fucking words. And
you took all the pictures.
I took all the pictures.
So, yeah.
We curated it together, worked on what to put in there and what to say about stuff. And we collaborated on it. But yeah, I photographed everything in all the books except for items that were out of my collection, of course.
These guys are over here mumbling about the
Queen Ninja Turtles. Oh, I heard that. Oh, yeah.
Leave me be. Leave me be.
Yeah, right?
Got to give them
having a good time.
Guys,
over
look
here.
For it. Look for it. Like, look through it.
I was watching an episode of I don't remember what the fuck it was, where the guy went and like he went to people's toys collection and he was like
Toy Hunter.
Yeah, and he had the
He-Man. Yeah,
the fucking and all that shit and how much that shit's worth. I had all of it.
Yeah, I still do. Yeah. It's all down by my desk.
My mom threw it all away.
Again, throwing away lottery tickets.
I know,
parents,
it's like what the fuck? And like I hit her up and like I was like, why did you throw this shit away? And she was like. I don't know. I don't even remember you having that.
Dude, He-Man is a big thing that connected us.
Oh, He-Man's huge.
Like
Definitely.
Remember the Burger King He-Man guys that we went for?
Oh,
we went
my
to
God.
Like 47
no.
Burger
okay, first
King.
Of all, I have to correct you because they were McDonald's.
Oh, but sorry about that.
How dare you?
How dare you?
How dare you? Well, they relaunched that He-Man cartoon. And we were all about it. We were just like, He-Man.
I still have the VHS you gave me.
Yeah, right? those are beautiful. So, yeah. I don't know, man. He-Man is one of those things I also haven't touched. I'd love to.
Yeah,
I might someday do a He-Man deal. I don't personally have a collection that's extensive enough to write a He-Man book.
Sure.
I'd have to rely on other people's pictures.
Well, and they're being relaunched now, too.
They relaunched them like three times. God. There's all these, because Mattel did a collectible line, and then another company took over and started doing it, and then another company's doing them. And
yeah, it must be the new company. Like they have the As Seen on TV.
Yeah, that's Super 7 does those. Okay. They're very cool.
Yeah.
But they're. I can't keep up with all that stuff, man. I don't have the budget for that.
You know?
My books aren't that popular.
So, you're successful.
I guess.
Doing this.
I guess, yeah.
You have 4 fucking published books out on miscellaneous toy collections.
Nerdy books. Yeah.
You could probably
just keep doing these.
Sure. All day.
But yeah. you changed a little bit.
I did.
I mean, I imagine it's a similar process. What tell us about the next book in the progression.
It is in no way a similar process, actually.
Really?
It was such a departure. The next book I did was called A Secret History of Brands. And basically what happened was, just like with the website, it was all about relationships. The person who was the person who procures books for this company, Amberly, mm-hmm. went to another company.
Okay.
And she got a different job. And she basically said, hey, Matt, just so you know, I'm going here. So we had a really good rapport. And she says, if you have any ideas for history books, let me know. I love working with you. If you want to write something else, let me know. And so I thought about it, and I went, okay. I go, does your company pay advances? Because Amberly doesn't. And that's a big nuance. When you're writing a book, imagine if you just go to work for a year for free. And you're like, well, someday I'm going to get paid.
Right.
Yeah. You're like, it's going to come. It's going to happen. It's very hard to stay motivated. So I'm like, does Pen and Sword Books pay advances? And she says, yeah, we do. So I'm like, okay, then I want to write a book. So I started talking to my wife about what kind of history books I want to write. And when I look at history, a lot of things have been done over and over and over again. I'm like, what hasn't been done? I'm like, what are some dark secrets that really haven't been talked about as much? So I wrote A Secret History of Brands, which basically goes into the origins of a lot of different companies, how they started, how these products started, because a lot of it is really, really greasy.
And if we're looking at the cover, it says heroin.
Heroin. Heroin was originally manufactured by Bayer, who makes aspirin.
There you go.
Yeah, there's a lot of things in here that are very, very, very interesting. There's a lot of connection between Hitler and Henry Ford. It goes into all the origins and the myths of cocaine and Coca-Cola, what it actually was, mm-hmm. what was actually in it, what wasn't. Coca-Cola actually had a dispensation with the government all the way up into the 80s to import cocaine just for use in their soda.
Oh, wow.
They could actually bring it in, purify it, and utilize it still, even in through the 80s. They had a special deal where they could do it, which is ridiculous. But it's a thing. And none of this stuff, I'll be very clear, because I was on a radio show last year called AM Coast to Coast. Mm-hmm. Huge radio show, millions of listeners, but it's kind of a conspiracy theory show.
Yeah.
For crazy people.
Yeah.
So nothing in here is a conspiracy theory. This is stuff that is
based in fact,
documented, proven fact only. If it's something I couldn't prove, I say this is said to be the case. There's nothing. I make it very clear. There's nothing that proves this one way or the other. But most, I'd say 99% of stuff in here I was able to prove, and that's why it's in here.
Okay.
Yeah, it's pretty fucked, man. There's some really fucked up shit. Like, I mean, to the point where, and I'd say 75% of the companies were involved with the Nazis, and that's why they're in here.
Oh, wow.
But like Bayer, for example, is one of the companies that sponsored concentration camps. One of the reasons they exist.
Wow.
Auschwitz was actually Bayer Auschwitz. It was the reason they had people. The reason they had people there was to support and work for their chemical plant, which was creating medicine. That was the entire point. That's why it was located where it was. Again, this is not conspiracy theory bullshit. This is
fact.
It's just glossed over.
It's very glossed over. IBM was involved with them back in the day. A lot of the first computer stuff was done to log Jews. That's why they did it. They had to catalog people and organize them. And to do that, they needed technology to do that with. So they got with IBM in the early days and got them to develop a system for them to actually catalog people.
Thanks, Hitler.
Yeah. Another great thing Hitler did. So,
yeah. Oh, boy.
Hey. Yeah.
Look what we did here.
Yeah.
So we could actually say that everybody's a rapper now.
Because of Hitler. Yeah.
Yes.
So now, because he put forth the computer work and the software. And the
legit.
Yep.
Thanks, Hitler.
Thanks for this broadcast, Adolf Hitler. Thanks to our sponsor, Adolf Hitler.
Again, we're not really thanking Hitler for any of the sponsors out there that are interested in sponsoring
More so
us.
Bayer Auschwitz.
My favorite part was, and this is something that'll probably never happen again, my editor asked me to take more masturbation out of the book. There was too much masturbation talk.
Question, why is there masturbation talk in there?
Because...
Wait, how great was that? I mean,
that was my favorite email. She goes, Matt, the book is amazing. Maybe less masturbation talk. I'm like, Claire, why do we have last masturbation talk? Like, I figured, yeah. So.
Just jerking off on everybody in that book?
Oh, yeah. Everywhere. Actually, the guy who created Kellogg's was obsessed with sexuality. He wrote, he had a whole.
Like choice of sexuality?
He was obsessed with abstinence.
Okay.
He made cornflakes because he thought they would be bland enough that people wouldn't get excited and jerk off. You're laughing. Like,
no, that's absolutely
why he did it. It was one of his bland diet things that he would give to people. He actually never consummated his marriage with his wife.
Wow.
He was very proud of it.
That's fucked
up. He did not believe in sex. He had a huge, I should find you his list, of rules of things you could not do.
What about Frosted Flakes?
That was a man who's going against the grain.
Actually, Frosted Flakes were his brother. Who did not believe in all
who
that.
Who loved fucking.
Yes.
Is that
his
real?
Brother? Yeah.
Yes. That's so great.
His brother loved fucking, and so he made Frosted Flakes. He's like, let's get it on.
All over it.
He used to walk around and give ladies Frosted Flakes. Like, let's get it on.
Try my aphrodisiac of Frosted ladies? Flakes.
That's so fucking exciting.
Well, as our Frosted Flakes.
That was his brother, actually.
Yeah,
he loved fucking.
Just forget it. I can't find it. But read the goddamn book. It's in there.
All right.
Let's push some copies.
Moving on.
Get the book.
Where are these? Where are all these available?
All on Amazon. Just look up. If you just look up Matt McNabb, MacNabb, you'll find all my books on there. Yeah.
We can just type your name directly in the search bar and you pop up.
Directly in. Pop right up.
Get these books because I'm like interested in all of them.
They're the bee's knees. Writing a history book.
Yeah.
Sucks. Because you go into it, I went into the Batman books and the toy books with a certain amount of base knowledge. When I researched these, it was from scratch. And I don't know if you try to research things on the internet. There's a lot of bullshit on the internet.
Right.
You got to sift through it.
You got to sift through a lot of stuff. And then you got to actually talk to real people, which is painful for me. So I had to talk to a lot of real people. I had to sift through a lot of crap. And I actually had to go through a lot of documents and a lot of stuff. I wrote an article for Snopes because one of my things is how Coco Chanel was a Nazi spy. Mm-hmm. And I've got the documents in here that show that she was actually working with the Nazis.
Legit, yeah.
She had a lot of celebrity connections, so they're trying to get her to basically work on Churchill.
See, now, knowing you,
yeah.
We've been friends a long time. Yeah. This is not new. Like, you have always told me stuff like this.
Yeah.
So, like, the research is the hard part to find the actual. Yeah,
it's got to be for me. It's got to be 100% true.
Well, yeah.
And so I'm like, I got to go over it. I got to go over it again, and I put myself through the ringer on it because I'm like, this needs to be serious. It needs to be legit. I don't want anybody to read this and go, oh, you're wrong about this,
right?
Because then the entire book is crap.
Right.
If there's one thing you go in there, the entire book is debunked. It's just crap then, and I don't want all my hard work to go to waste. I really wanted something cool and true to be out there because even a lot of books get through with bullshit in them, and so I wanted to make sure it was absolutely accurate. So, but yeah, I went and made another book for the same company. This one's called Silver Screen Scandals. It's basically kind of in the haze of the Me Too movement, where there's a lot of people there's a lot of Bill Cosby and there's a lot of Weinstein, a lot of guys now that are having trouble. This is not a new thing with Hollywood at all.
No.
So I went back to the origins of Hollywood and went through all the fucked up tales of, you know, the old actors, the old producers and directors and all the murders, the scandals and all the stuff there. Mm-hmm. And wrote a big book about that basically. So
that had to be pretty fun.
It's pretty cool.
Where's that book at?
It is not out yet.
How far along are you?
Oh, it's done.
Oh, okay.
It's done. It's with the publisher. It'll be out in, I think, February 1st. You know, one of the things I did was I did research on Winchester. And you know about the Winchester Mansion, how it's supposed to be haunted. And mm-hmm. I got a lot of research done on that because there's a lot of nonsense involved with the history of that. So I ended up talking to people that own it now who use it like a tourist trap.
Yeah.
And the people who were in charge of the Historical Society out there. And I learned a lot of facts about the story that aren't quite as exciting, but are maybe true. So,
I mean, that's the definition of
yeah,
fact,
you know. So I don't know. It's hard because all these people are dead, and everyone that knew them's dead, and no one knows who the hell they are anymore. You know, if the people know who Charlie Chaplin is because Robert Downey Jr. played him in a movie. And
right.
Nobody knows who they are anymore. I mean, so it's one of those things where I feel like it's forgotten history, and it's important with history to bring it back around, show people that nothing changes. And, you know, it's that old cliche, if we don't, you know, study history. We're doomed to repeat it.
Right.
That's what happens over and over again. Nobody learns. We forget it. And then shit happens all over again.
Yeah.
It's like, surprise, surprise. You know?
You've kind of, this is, you have a life's work of it, really.
I do. I've got 6 books. But, you know, I'm at a point now where I don't feel like, and no disrespect to my current publishers, they're great. Amberlee's great. First one, not so much. I would self-publish from now on, man.
Yeah.
I really would. I don't see what book companies do for me other than kind of annoy me.
Yeah.
Like, hey, Matt, when's your book going to be done? I'm like, fuck off. Like, I'm busy writing. Leave me alone.
It'll be done when I tell you. It'll be
done when I'm done when it's goddamn done. Right? Someone tells you, okay, so basically if you want to publish a book, you say, I want to write this story. And let's say it's nonfiction because I know nothing about writing fiction.
Right.
So that's all I can tell you about. But with nonfiction, you go, I want to write about this. And they basically tell you, you're allowed to write about that. We'll publish it for you. And that's it. They're going to publish it for you. You're going to get 8% maximum of the sales.
Yeah.
Maybe you'll get an advance. Most companies, you won't. You know, if you're lucky, you'll get $1,000, $1,500. If you're really lucky, you'll get $5,000 to $10,000. And you're never going to make any more money than that on that book. It is not going to happen. Unless your book is a runaway New York Times bestseller, which very few are. That's why it's a special list. Mm-hmm. It's not going to happen. And my books have been promoted ever since the first one very well. They got in very major outlets. They've done their good job of promoting them. They still sell a modest amount. You know, it's in the thousands per book. And so it's like, none of these are making you rich.
Mm-hmm.
There's no time in which I go, publishers do a lot for me. It's like the music industry where eventually people started catching on that maybe we don't need a label.
Yeah.
Maybe labels just kind of get all up in your grill and tell you what to do and don't really pay for anything for you. They expect you to pay for it all anyways.
Right.
Or you pay advance and then you have to pay.
Or they advance and you pay it back anyways, mm-hmm. and which isn't the case with books, by the way, which is nice. But after a while, you're like, why aren't I self-publishing? I can upload text to a website and publish it myself.
Yeah.
Have it published on demand. I don't see why I need you. I feel like they're an outmoded middleman. I don't know why I need a publisher.
So your 8th book, it'll be your 6th or...
7th.
Okay, so your 7th book that's coming out. So your
This is my 6th book. And then 6th book's coming out.
Your 8th book.
Are you number 7. Number 7 will be self-published.
Right. Now,
yes.
Okay.
Yes.
I think all from creative outlet is becoming that way, though. Movies.
It is. It's movies.
Music.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Art. Books. I've gotten now ads on my Facebook, self-publishing books. I was like, oh, that's cool. You can do that now by yourself. Sweet.
And it used to be a thing where self-publishing was kind of a joke. You go, oh, you're going to self-publish it, are you? No one will publish it for you. But now, I mean, there's a lot of legit authors who are just choosing to do it. Because why am I giving you, you know, a 92% stake in my book when I can take, you know, and self-publishing is kind of a ripoff, but I'm still getting 75% of my book profit. Why the fuck would I be giving it to anybody else?
Right.
It doesn't make...
You've built a foundation where you're going to sell those 1,000 copies.
I have people that read my books. Yeah. I have a name. I have published plenty of books. I've shown I can publish books. It's not that I can't get them published. I don't want to.
Yeah.
You know? I don't really have an interest in working with a publisher. If someone offered me a stupid amount of money as an advance, I probably would do it. But, you know, truly with books, people don't generally hunt you down. I'm kind of lucky in that way, where normally people don't, like, headhunt you to write a book.
Right.
People sit around waiting for someone to email them and say, hey, write a book. You're really cool. Not going to happen. That was a really lucky, lucky thing for me. And I took it and I, you know, self-promoted and I used it over and over again to get
myself. You made it happen.
I made more opportunities off of that. I told my wife, I go, I'm going to publish this book. I go, honey, I'm going to be an author from now on. She's like, okay. She's like, let's just get to this one, honey. Let's see you finish this book. Right. We'll see how it goes. And, you know, 6 books later.
You know what's right about Holly? She wasn't like, no, you're fucking not.
No.
Go to work.
No, no. She's like, stay focused. Stay focused on this book. I'm like, no, you don't get it. Stephen King's a piece of shit. I'm gonna be the next big author. So, no, you know, it's one of those things where it's a labor of love. You don't get rich off writing books. You mm-hmm. just don't. Especially if you're writing fiction. But nonfiction books, you got to go after them. You got to go pitch stuff. It's once you've got a name and you've written books, it's not hard to get a book deal. But there's just not a lot of money in it. There's not. Like most things. Like with music. You do it because you love it.
Right.
It's not making you rich anytime soon.
Right.
You know? But it's one of the things where thanks to the internet, we can get things out there. There's creative outlets. And that's really nice and valuable. But I wouldn't recommend anybody do anything but self-publish.
Yeah.
I don't know why you would.
I like that.
Mustache.
If
Would you ever get back to doing collectible books?
I would. I'd probably be most likely to write a collectible book, to be honest.
Can I ask for one?
Do it.
WWE collectibles?
Dude, I would love to do that. My WWE collection is pathetic. I have got... I've got some of the old LJNs, and I've got some of the old Hasbro guys. Yeah. Like, I'd only want to do a WWF collectible book. Like, it'd be strictly 80s, early 90s.
Okay.
Like, Wrestling Buddies and, yeah. you know. But
that's what we want. The Thumb Wrestlers.
Like, oh.
Don't talk about the Thumb Wrestlers.
Oh, this is a wrestling podcast now, because if you want to talk wrestling, I'm all there, buddy. We can just screw this book crap. We can talk wrestling all night. I would love to do that. I would, actually. I would definitely consider doing that.
That's my collection. Like, I don't have like the 90s and 80s and 90s. I have like, you know, but like I collect the WWE action figures and try to keep them in the box and all that shit. And I have tons of them, but I mean, and I would love to see something like that, like something that's laid out like your three books right there.
Yeah.
I would love to see something like that laid out with the WWE stuff.
Now, WWF. Did you buy the recent Ninja Turtles WWE crossover figures?
Yes. Because as a Ninja Turtle fan and a wrestling fan,
but it's like a John Cena Raphael kind of deal. Like, it's weird. It's weird.
It's just fucking weird. Awesome. It's
fucking weird.
Yes, now, it was horrible. It was horrible characters that they chose.
They were horrible.
Yes, but at the same
Shawn Michaels. What the fuck? Why is Shawn Michaels a
those
fucking turtle?
Be the ones that sell, right?
It's like Wave 2.
Yeah.
And by the way, this is Wave 2 of these toys. It's horrible. Now I don't know. I would definitely do an old school wrestling one.
How about just a wrestling book?
I would totally do a wrestling book. My problem with wrestling is that I have a lot of respect for the business. I don't want to tread on ground where I don't feel like I belong. I don't feel like my historical knowledge touches what anybody else knows. You know, like I like to buy like Jim Cornette's books that he puts out and stuff. And I just, like, I wasn't there for a lot of that stuff. And I don't feel like I know enough. I would be interested in delving into it. I wouldn't say no.
Because I think that might take
for
me
sure.
some places that,
you know,
we might get to fucking hang out with some.
It took me some really cool places, actually. But, like, so, yeah,
why I'd probably write a book. I'm like, fuck it, I'm gonna go hang out with Ric Flair.
I'm gonna find some really old balding guys with heart conditions to hang out with. So
the Iron Sheik,
Sheiky, you piece of shit. Yeah, I love Sheik. I would definitely be open to write a wrestling book. That would be cool. I that's one of the last things actually I haven't done anything with that I would really enjoy.
Okay, because you mentioned a comment earlier about wrestling and well, you know, we're fucking all wrestling fans.
Yeah.
Except Sam.
I am a wrestling fan. I just gave up in 2003.
Because he's too cool.
Oh, he's too cool for wrestling now.
Yeah.
No, I mean, I'm trying to get back into it. AEW's got me back.
He's watched a couple AEW.
No, I'm just giving Sam shit out. Yeah. That's what I do.
He does.
But yeah.
You can't dig Braun Strowman like that. He's a shit.
Nah, I can't get
it. He's a beast.
The work rates and spots are just terrible.
But did you see when he was fighting Seth Rollins for the championship? And like Seth Rollins is like half his, like his chest. You don't always realize it because the angles and they're all big dudes. And so Seth Rollins is trying to grab him around his waist and he's literally twice the size of Seth Rollins. I'm like, what the fuck? Like,
he's a big boy.
Yeah, he's a big boy. He's a big hoss. So, yeah, I don't know. He was talking about how he couldn't tie his shoes when he was doing the strongman stuff. I was like, I have a hard time tying my shoes. I must be tough as shit. Kind of strange.
I fucking run out of breath every time.
I must be a bad motherfucker. Yeah, Jesus. So, yeah, I don't know, man. I love wrestling way too much. Time Warner and AOL merged. AOL actually bought Time Warner, which if you think about it now is kind of retarded.
Mm-hmm.
Like, how does AOL buy Time Warner? Because they were that huge.
Right.
Like, now AOL means nothing. But they bought Time Warner. And when they bought Time Warner, they shut down the Warner Brothers store. And the Warner Brothers store, I don't know if you ever went to the Warner Brothers store, but they had all the cool Batman shit that you couldn't get in regular stores. They made collectibles for adults in the Warner Brothers store only. That's the only place you could get them. Shut the fucker down. Like, we don't want Warner Brothers stores. I'm like, fuck you, you don't want Warner Brothers stores.
Fuck
so
you, AOL.
They shut down WCW and they shut down the Warner Brothers store. I'm like, fuck you, piece of shit, AOL.
You were lost, but hopefully now you've been found.